Yeah, we should be running. Hey, what's up? We haven't seen you in a while, or ever, because you're the audience and this is an audio format. Welcome to the Smooth Burrito, I'm Frank.
And I'm Trevor.
And yeah, we're starting her back up. We're bringing the band back the boys are back in town. Like that song that I can't play or else we'll get copyright struck.
It's okay, I'll sing it.
Oh yeah, we'll guess around it.
So how you doing, Frank?
I've been doing okay. How about you?
Yeah, all right. Trying to get back into playing games, you know what I mean? I had to take somewhat of a hiatus because work was too crazy, but getting back to it, man.
Yeah, you play anything good?
Right now, yesterday, I just started Mario plus Rabbids Sparks of Hope. This was a unique... These Mario plus Rabbids games are interesting for me. One, because I hate the Rabbids. Two, I kind of hate all Ubisoft games. And like right off the bat when the first one got announced, I was like, oh, this is going to be disastrous. Like, what a crappy thing to do to Mario. Just like a lot of other people were. But the game turned out to be like actually really good. I thoroughly enjoyed the first one. And I've put like a few hours into the second one since it came out like yesterday, which tells you I've managed to put in a few hours, which means I like it. I actually really like it a lot. It's just as good, probably even better than the first one. So yeah, props to them.
That's pretty sick. Yeah, I can understand hating the Rabbids. I think a lot of people hate the Rabbids who are over like the age of 2.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. There is a possible way for you to build out a squad of no Rabbids characters, but they are still in like the cutscenes. You know what I mean? Doing Rabbid shit, which kind of sucks. But the game itself and the actual gameplay and how it differs from like anything Nintendo has ever done is quite intriguing.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I knew it was like an XCOM thing, which is usually outside of Nintendo's wheelhouse.
Yeah, it is. Very much so. Especially with Mario with like a gun.
Mario with a fucking gun. Have been playing... I don't know if I ever got to talk about this game on this podcast, but Warhammer 40K Inquisitor... Warhammer 40K colon Inquisitor colon Martyr is a mouthful of a video game title, and it's also
one of those names.
A pretty damn good Diablo clone. The 40K thing as of late, or at least for people who get the license, seems to be like just making clones of games that may be better or worse than the game that they're cloning. Like they have a Doom clone called Boltgun coming out soon. It looks like it's actually made in like GZ Doom or something.
Really? So,
yeah, I don't know about that, but Inquisitor Martyr is a Diablo clone, and it brings a lot of the quality of life fixes to that Diablo 3 brought, without, in my opinion, bringing the ones that made the game really easy. Like, this game is actually as difficult as you want to make it right out of the jump. One of the things that annoyed me about Diablo 3 is that, and granted, this criticism extends to Diablo 2, although it wasn't as much of an issue in 2 because I kind of approached that a bit more organically, and also 2's a harder game overall. But, like, 3 locks you out of the higher difficulties until you beat it once, and I'm like, I don't have this kind of time to fucking sit
beating
here and
Diablo
beat this.
3. One time on like its normal mode is like literally just going through the paces. It's too easy.
Yeah, I shouldn't be able to do a build with the Necromancer that's a tank, but you can totally build the Necro tank and then just fucking like basically walk around rubbing up against people and they take damage.
Yeah, it's too easy.
But yeah, this game's cool. It's more shooty than Diablo because it's 40K and like, you know, guns. I have a guy with a giant flamethrower. He's basically a fire bat from StarCraft. Light shit on fire real good. I'm like level 40. I don't know how far the level cap goes up. I assume it's a lot higher than that. Because I just unlocked the ability to customize like how my character's armor looks. But yeah, that game's been cool.
That's cool, man.
I like it better than Diablo 3, which is probably a lot less sacrilege to say now than it used to be, given what Activision Blizzard has been up to.
Right, I know. I know. We won't even get into that, to be honest.
Yeah, not going to cover that piece of news since it's kind of old and stale. But yeah, did we have any new actual news that we wanted to talk about?
I didn't have any specific news. I did see that Gotham Knights came out and sucks. Apparently it is a mess, which was really disappointing to me because I was really looking forward to that game. I like all the Arkham games. I'm a diehard DC fan. Love Batman. Was really hyped about playing like a co-op Gotham game with like all the DC like heroes, and I just feel like it was a really great opportunity that was executed extremely poorly, which is rough. I mean, I was sitting here thinking, oh, if it comes out at like sixes and sevens, then I might still give it a shot. But I mean, like, the reviews it's getting are like fours and threes and fives, and its performance is bad.
Yeah.
Its graphics are terrible. Apparently the combat is terrible. And I'm like, that's the game. It's the whole reason to play the game is the combat. And you dropped that ball. Like, I don't know, man.
Yeah. That game seems to have manifest issues. I was reading a Jeff Gerstmann thing on his Patreon where he was just like, yeah, I've been playing this game for like a week and a half or whatever, and I think I'm done with it. Because,
yeah,
basically everything you listed. Yeah, it's been having performance issues, like sub 30 FPS, and they're targeting 30 on the like the PS5, which is outrageous to me that you're targeting 30 FPS on what's supposed to be the next gen console, and it can't even hit that.
The thing is, a lot of other games are able to hit it, and I know all games aren't created equal. I get it, right? Other open world cooperative games can scale down the resolution and make it work. And even if it has to get really scaled down to get up to 60 FPS, or if you're trying to hit 30 FPS, just like at least hit it. From what I'm seeing, it's having a rough time even hitting 30.
I think one of the bigger problems with that game is just like the ethos behind the game design, because if you think about like the previous Arkham games, like they don't have much in the way of stat progression. Like there's perks and shit, but as far as like number higher, do more damage shit, that doesn't really exist. And I feel like bringing it into this soup was just like you're Batman or Robin or Red Hood or Batgirl or your favorite member of the Bat family, because Batman's apparently dead, but
yeah, so everyone except Batman,
you know, the thing that people love to do in a Batman game, not play as Batman, but
right.
Yeah, you're everyone except Batman, so you're playing as like a fucking superhero. You would think that you'd be able to punch a regular goon in the face, but not if he's level like 10 and you're level 3 or whatever.
I know. It reeks of the whole Avengers mess.
Yeah. And yeah, it definitely smells like an attempt to make another games as a service nightmare.
Yeah, and it just sucks. I'm really disappointed in that regard. So.
Yeah, that's real unfortunate.
That I had.
I can't think of anything else, but I do have ideas for Gaming Book Club, which we're going to be starting here. For those of you who aren't aware, before this podcast, we had one that we called Mission Objective, where we basically, the entire idea was we would play a game from start to finish, and then, you know, review it, just see if it held up, whatever, yada, yada, yada. And that we got rid of that format because it was a bit too restrictive, but the idea of still like playing stuff between podcasts is an interesting one that we both want to pursue, so we are gonna do that, and we gotta pick a first one here. I don't know if you want to go first with your suggestions.
Sure. So I brought two, one old, one new. I think I'll probably approach that route going forward. But for the new one, I was thinking newer, right? I was thinking one. I actually brought two for the newer one, just in case. But I got the Sparks of Hope game because I'm already playing it and I'm liking it so far. So I know I'm going to see it through. Or The Last of Us, because I haven't played that since it came out, and I remember it being one of my favorite games of all time, still held up in that regard, and would like to see if it now in today's age, what is it, 10 years later, still holds up as one of my favorite games of all time. So those are the two new ones I brought. In terms of old ones, I want to play Earthbound.
Earthbound would be interesting.
Yeah, because that's another one I haven't played in several years. It's one that I come back to frequently. I love it. Really got that nostalgia factor for me, and it's a feel-good game for me. There's a few of those that I return to at certain points in my life that are just games that make me happy to play, and that's always been one of them. So would love to approach Earthbound again if you're more in the mood for a classic.
Yeah, I never really touched Earthbound much. It doesn't help that, like, even in the heyday of getting games at like flea markets and antique stores for cheap, it was still incredibly expensive every time I saw it.
Yep, it was.
But yeah, I never really poked at it much, so I'd be interested in checking that out. My suggestions are also along a similar axes, I suppose. I have three. I figured one that came out kind of recently, one that's in the PS2 era, and like one that's a SNES game.
Okay.
Although I'm interested to see if it actually made it to like the Nintendo Switch Online SNES stuff, because I don't know who owns the rights to the franchise at this point. But the SNES one is the game Metal Warriors, which is a I suppose technically a run and gun game. It's a game about robots. It's on the Super Nintendo. It was made by LucasArts and published by Konami.
I know of it. I know it's not on the Switch Online service, but I do know
which
of
is a goddamn game. Crime. Because that game is my favorite SNES game. It's incredible. Good soundtrack. I'm biased to like the subject matter, but that game is probably one of the formative reasons why I do like robots in like games and anime and shit.
Right.
It's a really good multiplayer mode too.
Which, that's like a side scroller, right? It's like a 2D.
Yeah, it's a 2D side scroller. It was built like on the Zombies Ate My Neighbors engine. You can like get in and out of your robot and shit.
That's dope.
You can shit in the robot.
You can
I'm
shit
kidding,
in the
robot. But I assume that's what the pilot
crazy,
does.
Dude. It's awesome.
And yeah, that's a cool little game to look at. Definitely not as long as Earthbound. It's
definitely not as long as Earthbound. Earthbound's not too long. I mean, it was probably like 20 hours at most.
Yeah, I think that Metal Warriors, if you know how to beat the game, you could probably beat it within like an hour and a half.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's typical for SNES side-scrollers.
Yeah. I think that would be cool. Sticking with the theme, I have a weird Venn diagram of shit. Because these two are on the mech side of things. Armored Core 3. I would love to revisit. I know that From Software is in the news, what with the Elden Ring, and they're also apparently working on a new Armored Core game, which has me excited as hell, because if that's the thing that the like Elden Ring slash Dark Souls team is working on now, and they throw a bunch of money at it. Apparently, they have one of the Expanse writers on it, which I love that show. So really hype about that. Haven't seen much on it aside from what we assume are some dev screenshots that got leaked. But we do know they're working on it. They have said that they are. So yeah, I think that would be cool to check out. It's probably for me, like, people always said the Dark Souls was hard, but for me, my teeth grindingly difficult From Software series of choice has always been Armored Core. It is just as difficult as any of the Souls games, in my opinion.
Right.
And I think checking that out would be really cool. It's definitely, given how the control scheme is, because it's a game that is made without dual analog sensibilities. They didn't realize there were two analog sticks until, I want to say, like, two games after 3, but 3 is my favorite one. But, like, you gotta either tune PCSX2, if you're playing it on an emulator, you gotta tune your controls right, or you gotta get friendly with the idea of your camera being on L and R.
Right, I know what you mean.
But yeah, I think that'd be cool to check out. And then my recent suggestion, still within the Venn diagram, is just Elden Ring, because I haven't gotten to play it yet.
Oh, shit. I played a lot of it, maybe half of it. Put it on the side burner because it's hard as shit. And I know I'm a weak ass gamer bitch because it's hard. I did very much enjoy it and would be willing to go back to it. I feel like that's probably going to be one that takes over the 2 weeks. So like it would be each of us every couple of weeks will be like, where are you at and what are you doing in Elden Ring?
Yeah.
Which I'm all for, honestly. I think if I had to choose one of your three, Elden Ring would be my choice.
Do you think that, given that we're going to have some longer games,
accessible wise for me, it'd be the easiest for me to do because it's like right there on my PS5 on my TV already.
Do you think that since like certain games are going to be longer than others, it would behoove us to, instead of picking a game every 2 weeks, as we're planning on doing a podcast every 2 weeks, we pick it monthly and just like at the 2 week mark, we'd be like, how's Elden Ring working out for you or whatever?
Yeah, I think that's good. As long as we don't, I think it's good to not put a time limit on it. Right. Yeah. Especially for us in our lifestyles, we both have full-time jobs and have a lot of shit going on. So,
oh yeah, I was just gonna eliminate the idea of completing the game. Like,
yeah, we can like come to an agreement at some point where we're like, I've played enough of this game. You know what I mean? I mean, I feel like some games are gonna be like that where we're like, I don't want to play this game anymore. It's not good, or like, you know, I can't get through this game. That kind of thing. We could do it monthly, like you said, just play each game for a month and see how that goes. I think that's a good way to approach it for now. So like every 2 weeks, it would be an update on where you're at with something like Elden Ring. If we did something like The Last of Us, or whatever, which is a lot shorter of a game, I feel like 2 weeks is not a problem to get through something like that. But I feel like with games nowadays, especially the more modern ones, we're going to find ourselves in that predicament often, where games are quite a bit longer than they used to be. So I think that's I think your idea is a good way to go about it.
Sweet. I guess we just have to pick one. And we both agree on a couple of these. I could play Earthbound, I could play Elden Ring. It feels like those two are what's in contention here.
Sure. So what is the deciding factor? I think
I'm fine with either, so I'm gonna leave the selection between the two up to you.
Let's kick off with The Last of Us, because it's a shorter one, and I feel like for the first round of things, it'd be easier to approach a little bit shorter of a game. I think Last of Us probably cocks in at around like 10 to 12 hours. So that one probably be pretty easy to get through and give us something to talk about extensively on the next podcast.
Yeah, I think I have a version of that laying around somewhere.
I think we can do Elden Ring on the next one and then let Elden Ring be the game for a bit. Because I know you probably haven't played Elden Ring, but wow, that game is a behemoth. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that game is big. I've been watching the LPs and shit of it, and
it's very fun, fucking and addictive. Yeah, it's very fun. It's very addictive. Found myself like spending tons and tons of time on just completely small, out of the way, not on the path of like the main progression of the game, just doing shit to get like some weapon or whatever. I love Elden Ring, but I did put it off to the side when I got too busy because I was like massively obsessed with it for a little bit.
Oh damn.
And it was like one of those things where I couldn't get anything done because all I wanted to do was play Elden Ring. So yeah, I'm all for going back to it, but let's kick things off. I'm cool with kicking things off with The Last of Us because it's smaller, it's shorter, and get it out of the way quick.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. I think I will make a small addendum if we can. After The Last of Us, before we do Elden Ring, let's get like either Metal Warriors or Armored Core in there, just because those will both be quick.
That's true.
Probably shorter than The Last of Us. And then, yeah, so cool. I guess we got a list.
I'm on board for Metal Warriors. I think I know that game, and I've actually wanted to play it before, and it'd be cool to get a nice NES side-scroller in there. So I'm cool with that one. We've got three games planned out in concession, so I feel like that's good.
Sick. So yeah, we'll be playing The Last of Us. I will probably be playing, I think what I have is the PS4 version. I think it's either gonna be the PS4 version or the PS3. I don't have a PS5, and I don't think it's on PC yet.
Is it? I think it might be. Maybe it's not though. I feel like that's something I'm gonna have to look up.
Yeah, I'll find that out, but I'll play some version. Honestly, like for as much hullabaloo around the re-releases, and honestly, I think the practice of re-releasing that game as much as it has been is definitely something that I want to talk about when we do talk about the game. There's not a ton of difference.
I'll be playing all three versions. I will have, after this, I will have played all three versions because I do have the PS5 version.
Yeah, you'll have to let me know if there's actual comparisons to be drawn aside from graphics slightly better,
right?
Because I'm
interested to see. I think the only reason I have it on PS5 is for my collection. I'm a diehard Last of Us fan, and it is in my like top three games of all time, so it is one that I've returned to a couple times, and I'm looking forward to seeing it, you know, on the PS5, actually, but I'm also looking forward to seeing if there's really that big of a difference. I mean, from what I've seen, it's definitely not worth the $70 price tag, right?
Hell no.
To re-release the game that's only 10 years old, making it look a little bit better. You know what I mean? But, yeah, I can't say much without actually playing it, so that's what I'm gonna do.
Sick. So, yeah, did you have anything else that you want to talk about gaming-wise? If not, this is going to be a quick one.
Yeah, this is a good intro into the kickoff of a new podcast still called The Smooth Burrito. I think I'm good. I did not bring anything else to the table. In terms of news, there wasn't a ton this week, so...
Yeah, there's the thing with the Bayonetta voice actress that turned into a gigantic fucking clusterfuck, but the only thing I have to say about that is everyone in the games industry, aside from the people at the top, need to be paid better.
Yeah. I mean, that's obvious. Right, and then it came out that like the contract leaked or something, and she wasn't 100% truthful.
No, and she wasn't 100% truthful, and she's also apparently like an online shithead. Of the MAGA variety, at least that's what I've heard.
So, yeah, and cool. I wasn't a fan of like everybody hearing that, and then a bunch of people that were like Nintendo influencers were like going online canceling their pre-order and like, you know, kind of trying to cancel, like basically put the game out, you know what I mean, like not cover it because of this, without hearing both sides of the story. I think it's interesting to see that, to just automatically assume that game developers are shit. Yeah. And that they're out to screw everyone over. So as soon as you hear something from someone, your automatic, you know, assumption is everything they're saying is true. So no one should play the game.
I do firmly believe that 90% of game developers are shit, but,
as Jim Sterling put it, if you
make a point of boycotting Bayonetta 3 because of this, even at the rate that was like the $4,000 rate that was described before, before the actual rate came out, like you kind of have to boycott the entire AAA games industry at that point.
Yeah, basically, just and
not even just AAA, like indies too are guilty of. Like, just, they just the SAG race for game voice acting is terrible.
Yeah, I know. It's a pain, dude. I know. I remember having a conversation with somebody, and they were like, "Oh, I'm not going to play the game because of this or whatever." And I was like, "Well, I'm going to play it. I'm going to buy it." I mean, even if what she said was true, it's like, I don't hate you for making the decision of not playing or buying the game, but I'm going to choose to play and buy it. I mean, there's tons of stuff that we don't know about just because somebody said one thing. Like, imagine all the games that you've bought and played that have probably had behind the scenes stuff happen that you weren't privy to, in terms of people being underpaid, overworked, losing their jobs as soon as the game gets released, things like that. You know, all the stuff that we basically know goes on in the video games industry.
Oh yeah, that was one thing I did want to mention. Activision, we're dicks to Raven Software, who unionized their QA team and apparently didn't give them raises when everyone else got one. So thanks, assholes. But yeah, it's always stuff like that.
Yep. You might as well not play games anymore at that point. Just stop playing games. Like, yeah, it sucks. But this kind of stuff's not exclusive to the video games industry either. It's just it's kind of, yes, the video games industry has it especially bad, especially for some companies like EA and Ubisoft and Activision that make so much money on their games. But I feel like it's hard. A lot of people are like, vote with your wallet, blah, blah, blah. It's hard to do any of that without hearing both sides of the story or knowing exactly what happened. And I was definitely like, when that came out and I started digging into it a little bit, I was like, I don't know if what she's saying is absolutely true. I would like really love to know exactly what was going on from Platinum's perspective, especially because like typically out of Platinum games and stuff like that, you don't hear a lot of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. So, I basically on her side when like I first heard the things that she was saying. I also don't like how Hideki Kamiya kind of freaked out on Twitter and then blocked everybody so hard that he got blocked himself.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
That was funny. I don't know. Shit sandwich. I honestly was probably not going to buy Bayonetta 3 anyway. I'm not boycotting it because of this mess, but I still have like the first game on PC that I haven't touched that I got for like $5. So even if I thought Bayonetta 3 was cool, I would play the first two anyway.
The second one's better than the first one by
That's what I hear.
large margin. It's like not close. The first one's still good, but it feels old. It doesn't. It didn't age well, in my opinion. I've gone back and tried to play it, and it doesn't really hold up that well. Two does.
I mean,
though.
Hell, I need to play the Devil May Cry games before I dig into Bayonetta. I guess I don't have to, but my brain's like, might as well.
Right. I know what you mean.
Well, but yeah, I think that's going to be it for this one. So we'll see you next time.
Catch you later.